Right. Good evening. So, actually, before embarking on this discourse, I wanted to outline another aspect of our trip, our journey to Shavuot, to the giving of the Torah. And that has to do with this volume of the Talmud that I'm holding over here, Masechet Sotah. And the Sotah, that's Sod.
Sotah, but concealed.
Sod.
Sotah.
Well, this is a Tet and not a Dalad. Sod would be secret, and Sotah in idea?
Wayward.
The Sotah.
Deviant.
Yes. Now, in the Torah, in the book of Numbers, in Parshat Naso, which actually we'll be reading in the Torah the week after Shavuot, which is interesting because that's how it usually comes out. Sometimes the week before Shavuot, but certainly the week after, if not then. We read about a woman suspected of infidelity. Her husband said to her, "Don't hide away with such and such a man. You keep hiding, you know, you keep talking to him. I don't want you hiding away with him." And she does. She locks herself away with this man in some hiding place somewhere, and she's seen coming out, and now comes a serious question: was she actually unfaithful? She hid away. In that sense, she made her husband jealous. She knew he was going to be jealous, and she did something which she knew was going to make him more jealous. But was she actually physically unfaithful to him? And there comes a whole ceremony with taking a piece of parchment and writing on it a text with God's name, and then this is erased into some water, and dust is taken from the floor of the sanctuary or from the temple. In the second temple they had a little marble slab that you could lift off in order to get some of the dust from the floor of the temple, and it's mixed with the water, and she drinks it. And if God forbid she was unfaithful, and if her husband had always been faithful, it doesn't work if her husband is not the way he's supposed to be. If there's something or rather wrong with the way her husband behaves, the whole thing doesn't work. But if she actually was unfaithful, she had made love with this paramour, and her husband is innocent in his own personal life, then she and the adulterer, who might be in Honolulu, simultaneously die from the fact of her drinking this water. Whereas if she is actually innocent, she flourishes. And the Talmud asks a question on that, you know, if so, let everyone hide away and make their husbands jealous, and then but be innocent, and they'll drink the water and they'll flourish. And there isn't really
it doesn't work like that. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because you see, the idea is that if she wasn't able to have a baby, then she has a baby. And if the babies she gave birth to weren't so beautiful, they become more beautiful. The Talmud doesn't actually solve this issue. There's actually a positive result from this whole suspicion. Now, one of the things about her is that when she comes to the temple, she brings a flower offering, and the flower offering is made of barley. That's very rare for a barley offering to be brought in the temple. Now, I'm not expecting everyone to be an expert in what offerings were brought in the temple, but which other barley offering is brought in the temple?
The Omer.
The Omer, we are now counting the Omer between Pesach and Shavuot. And the barley offering which is brought at the beginning of the Omer period is the only other barley offering brought in the temple. So there is the barley offering for the Omer, and then we count 49 days. and there is the barley offering of the sota, and there is the tractate sota. Now this is from the Talmud, the tractate which discusses everything about the sota. And if we can just look here, here is the last page, right? The pagination of the Talmud is always the same. This is the last page. What page is the last page?
49.
That's right. Memtet 49. There are 49 pages in Tractate Sota.
And then 50.
Well, the 50th day is Shavuot.
And then 50 levels.
Well, that's right. 49 levels. So, in fact, the way that Hasidic teachings and Kabbalistic teaching explain this sota, we are the sota. It's our animal soul, which pretends to be, or maybe is, a little bit unfaithful to God. It gets involved with something else. And now comes the whole question, is it really unfaithful? No, it's not. And so we are purified and we flourish and everything is good and we come to Shavuot and we join together with God in a very beautiful and spiritual way. So that is the drama of the Sota. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about this tractate of the Talmud, on page 32 of the Talmud, of this volume, is the last mention of the sota, because from page 33 onwards she is not mentioned again. After Lag BaOmer, after the 33rd day of the Omer, she is not mentioned again, except to say that her husband has to be perfect, otherwise the whole thing doesn't work. So in other words, she's only mentioned as a limitation that it wouldn't work if her husband was not perfectly pure and moral in his own behavior. So in other words, this tractate, in a very mysterious way, mirrors the whole Omer period. And in fact, the Chabad Hasidim, many of them, there is a custom, which many people try to follow, of studying one page a day of this tractate during the 49 days of the Omer. And so they come to page 33, just at the time of Lag BaOmer, and then the Sota is no longer, and the tractate is talking about other things, the blessings of the priests, and reading the Torah in the synagogue, and all kinds of other issues. And so there is this slow movement through the tractate Sota, together with the 49 days of the counting of the Omer, reaching into Shavuot itself. So that's just a little introduction to the Shavuot concept. Okay. So that's so the sense of self-transformation and the way that there are ripples of that in different ways through our Torah teachings. And of course there are the seven Sfirot, the seven divine emanations, which therefore gives their nature to the soul, and within each of the seven are the all of the seven, so that's 49, and so we're going through 49 different levels step by step. Okay, and then we come to Shavuot, and we're looking...
7 days in the week, Shavuot.
7 days in the... Well, Shavuot means weeks. It's the festival of weeks. Yes, that's right. Shiva Shavuot, 7 weeks. Yes, and the word Shavua, of course, relates to the word Sheva. The week relates to the word seven, because it's got 7 days.
Is there any recognized parallel between this 49 and the Yovel?
It's interesting, and I haven't seen a direct connection. I mean, what there is with the Jubilee year, you see there's the 7 days of a week, then Shabbat. There's 7 years, and then the sabbatical year. So when you have 7 times 7 of the sabbatical year, you end up with the Jubilee year, Yovel, which is a 50th year, which is something very special. Which is a time of total freedom, and all possessions, all land possessions, revert to their original owner. Because when the Jews came out of Egypt and they settled in Israel, then the land was divided up among them, but people sometimes fell on hard times and they would sell a field, but then at the Jubilee year it would come back to their family. So there is that, but I can't remember at this moment seeing a connection between that and the Omer, but there may well be one.
The connection might be that there's a natural rhythm in the world of seven.
Mm.
7 days, 49, 7 years and 49 years.
Right. Well, you could type in Google, you know, Omer Jubilee. See what it says. Well, it's amazing. There are. Can I know her? Hello,
hey,
how are you?
Hello, sorry.
Did you take them off to the airport?
Yes, I just got back.
Wow, that's incredible to see you. Yeah, that's really lovely.
Thank you. Yes, I will. Thank you. May I just get a drink? Sorry, I'm dehydrated. Sorry to be strong. Is it
yeah.
No, it's a little bit out of the 33rd day.
Yes.
Is a break, isn't it? Is there anything to do with the 32 days, talking in terms of Kabbalah, that you have 22 plus 10, you have 32, the path and...
Aha, that's interesting. See, there's 20...
the end of the path.
Mm. In the book of creation, Sefer Yetzirah, it speaks of the 22 letters
mm-hmm.
and the 10 sefirot, making the 32 paths of wisdom.
Mm.
So that means on the 33rd day one has
walked
past. Yes, one has passed that point. Maybe because one of the central concept is Hod Shebahod. Hod is in
Sheaf.
This. Hmm?
Sheaf.
Sheaf.
Well, Hod.
Well, here, Hod. All right, let's try and understand it. First of all, you have kindness, severity, mercy, victory. Then there's the word Hod. Now, what does Hod mean?
Mm.
One way of translating it is as glory, splendor.
Mm.
And what were you saying, Judith?
No.
Really. Right.
It's also to do with humility, isn't it?
Yes. Hoda'ah.
It's like selflessness.
Acceptance, exactly. Yeah. Selflessness, yes.
Mm.
So... now, within that, Hod Shebahod, in the week of Hod, the quality, the fifth quality in the fifth week, that's the 33rd day of the Omer.
Mm.
So it's selflessness of selflessness, humility of humility. And that is a tremendous spiritual power enabling us to absorb godliness. And so that's the special quality of the 33rd day of the Omer. Now the idea that it follows the 32 paths of wisdom, Lamadvet Netivot Chochma, is interesting because wisdom is itself seen as humility.
Mm.
Why is wisdom humility? Because there's wisdom and understanding, which are two different faculties.
Mm.
Wisdom is where you listen, you absorb. Understanding is where you contemplate.
Mm.
So the first step is absorbing something.
Comes from nothing, isn't it?
That's right.
That comes from the nothing.
Something
then it would be linked to selflessness because the self is not there. Or
that's right.
Or whatever.
Yes.
Interesting.
Right. So we were just exploring the 49 pages of Tractate Sotah, which is studied, that's right, in the Talmud Bavli during the days of the Omer. Funny enough, there is another tractate with 49 pages, Shavuot, not Shavuot, which means weeks,
mm-hmm.
but Shavuot, which means oath. So, but that also has 49 pages, so there might be people who study that one page a day, but it doesn't have the same or you know, maybe it has, but the more conventional way of understanding it is in terms of the Sotah and coming back to God and being recognized, as it were, as faithful to God. That's a very important thing, that we have this potential infidelity to the divine, and yet God sees through it, and we see through it. We discover our deeper self, and from discovering our deeper self, we connect to God in a more total way. So that is the tractate sotah.